Okay. All right, I'm going to be taking you through the fat loss diet. Now, we're going to be doing a fairly rapid fat loss diet, and it's going to be very effective. It's really an aggressive diet to drop fat quickly. Now, there are a lot of rapid fat loss diets, and I don't recommend them because they're way too extreme. You're looking at taking in very few calories, essentially almost zero fat, zero carbs, and, you know, 800 to 1,200 calories. That approach is just brutal. First of all, you're going to just destroy your testosterone levels. Your body is going to, sacrifice a lot of muscle tissue. You're not going to be sleeping well. You're going to feel absolutely miserable. And to be honest, it's not worth it because the strategy I'm going to outline to you is going to allow you to drop a pound and a half to 2 pounds of fat per week. Okay. That's how well it's going to work. And that's if you're, you know, getting some activity on a daily basis. Not a whole lot, but, you know, 45 to 60 minutes. That's either strength or that's either, you know, brisk cardio. But really, and this is going to be an enjoyable diet. It's going to be something you can stick to consistently. It's going to be very rewarding. But to go from a pound and a half to 2 pounds of fat loss per week, per week. So here's the deal. Basically, the deal is if you want to enjoy yourself and drop fat, the most you can do is a pound and a half, 2 pounds per week. And that's if you have your diet dialed in, using all the tactics I'm going to share with you. It's going to make it really enjoyable. But if you want to lose 2.5 pounds per week, that extra half pound of fat per week is going to make everything so much harder. Or the extra, you know, pound is going to make things miserable. So really, you have a choice between either losing like 2 pounds per week and having it like, you know, it's going to be challenging, but it's going to still going to be doable. Or trying to lose 3 pounds a week and just making it 10 times harder. So my suggestion is to just go for a pound and a half to 2 pounds per week, and you'll do phenomenal. Now, some diets try and teach you how to lose a pound a day. That's just all water weight and obviously some muscle loss, so it's just a terrible approach. But with this plan, every week you're going to be leaner and leaner and leaner. And the weight's going to come off, and you're not going to lose strength, and it's going to be the best approach. That's what I recommend. And if a pound and a half, 2 pounds per week seems slow to you, you're never going to get results. You got to accept it's a long road, and you got to be patient. If you don't, you're never going to see results. I can't stress this enough. Maybe you have 30 pounds to lose. Maybe you have 50 pounds to lose. You're looking at, you know, several weeks to get to where you want, several months to get to where you want to go. And that's okay. Okay. That's fine. The goal is to make consistent progress week in, week out, not to get to your end goal as fast as possible. That's what makes the whole journey meaningless. We want to get you into the habits and the frame of mind of someone that's going to succeed. Now, the reason I like to use aggressive dieting as opposed to trying to lose just, you know, a pound per week is this. So with aggressive dieting, a lot of times it works well. Because the results come faster, you're that much more motivated. And, you know, sometimes people don't get motivated when they're only seeing a slight decrease in body fat. But when you go with a more of an aggressive diet, the results come. You even notice stuff, you know, every couple days. You notice that you're looking better and you get comments. And that's always very motivating. And a lot of times when people implement the tactics I'm going to teach them, you know, with intermittent fasting, with like big satisfying meals, they can handle big deficits no problem. So you might as well use a more aggressive approach and drop fat faster. If you're not, you know, starving and hunger is not an issue and you're feeling satisfied, you know, why not lose fat faster? You know, when the diet starts to become unbearable and you need, you know, a break from the big deficits, then take a slow approach. But as long as you can manage bigger deficits, go for it. You'll drop fat faster, you get to your goal quicker, but you'll still, you know, won't sacrifice important stuff like, you know, sanity and that kind of thing. But you got to have it moderated and balanced as well. So basically, the results you can expect to see on this is about a pound and a half to 2 pounds of fat loss per week. The first couple of weeks, you might lose more like 3-4 pounds per week just because you're going to lose a bit of water weight and you're not going to have as much food in your system because you're eating less food. But every month or so, you should be down about 6 to 8 pounds of fat. Your waist should go down at least an inch and a half each month. And, you know, after like three months, you know, your waist should be down like 5 inches, 4 or 5 inches, which is huge. That's a massive drop. So this is like a great, great diet. If you're doing this for 12 weeks, after 3 months, you're going to want to take 2 weeks to eat at maintenance. We'll talk about that later. But now let's get to the strategy. All right, so this plan is to make it as simple, as effortless, and as enjoyable as absolutely possible. So we're not going to be eating breakfast. In fact, breakfast is probably one of the things that's sabotaging your ability to get lean with ease. Here is the bottom line. Breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. In fact, the idea that breakfast is so good for you and so important and, you know, you can't start your day without breakfast has largely just been pushed by big cereal companies to increase the profits of an otherwise useless food product that no one ever wanted to eat. So by telling you have to eat in the morning, you know, you're going to go and you're going to reach for cereal because you don't have the time to cook up a steak or cook up like a, you know, something, you know, some whole food. And you probably don't even have the appetite in the morning for a big meal like that. So it's a quick adaptation period to skipping breakfast and feeling fantastic. And I recommend everyone do that. And there are other advantages. For example, when you skip breakfast, growth hormone levels go through the roof, which is very advantageous. And that shifts fuel metabolism from muscle stores to fat burning. So the growth hormone makes intermittent fasting very effective because you'll protect your muscle stores and you'll burn your fat. That's because of growth hormone. And as well, you'll increase your insulin sensitivity in the muscle. So when you do eat, you actually can better partition those nutrients into the muscle stores. Intermittent fasting boosts the immune system. It has life extension benefits, neuroprotective properties, and like heart disease protection. So, I mean, it's very, very healthy for you. It's very effective. It works wonders, and this strategy allows you to eat huge meals while dropping fat like it's no one's business. So basically, the way you're going to do the intermittent fasting is, let's say, I don't worry about having a specific eating window or fasting window. That just makes things complicated and more stressful. The idea is to push your first meal later in the day. So let's say you wake up at 7 in the morning. Then you might have your first meal around 1 p.m. I like to shoot for about 6 hours after waking. So that is, that's about 1 p.m. You can play around with – everyone's different. Some people want to eat earlier and have a meal like 4 hours after getting up. Other people want to go longer and go, you know, 8 hours. I know a couple of people I work with, they like to fast even longer than that. I like the 6 hour sweet spot. So, you know, let's say you get up at 7, you eat your lunch at 1. That's basically how the intermittent fasting works. After your last meal, you just water only and you go to bed. And so during the day, you can have water, plenty of water, and a bit of caffeine. So that might be a cup or two of black coffee only. No calories, that's the main thing. So the intermittent fasting is very, very effective, and it also helps like diminish cravings. When you start doing fasting, you actually start to crave healthy food. You don't like have the same desire for sweets and junk. You think about food less. You're able to focus, work more clearly. Even that fasted state, it boosts mental alertness. So you actually are way more focused, which is so cool. Again, it takes a few days, sometimes up to 2 weeks to adapt to this. But after that, it's like, oh my God, it's amazing. All right, so you're doing 2 meals per day on this routine. You're doing a nice fast and then 2 meals per day. And for the nature of the rapid fat loss diet, it's going to be one big meal and then one smaller meal in size. You can play around. You can go either the bigger meal first or the bigger meal later. When I first started fasting, I always liked to have my bigger meal at the end of the day. As a big reward, but nowadays, in the past couple of years, I like to have my biggest meal first because it cuts the deficit. So, I mean, if you're in a huge deficit all day long from the morning until your final meal at night, I mean, that's a long time to be in this big deficit without eating that much food. Whereas if you have like a big lunch, then your body is already replenishing for that whole period of time later in the day. And so I found that, you know, when I was breaking my fast with a bigger meal, I felt much better the rest of the day. I wasn't as hungry. My sex drive was higher and everything was higher. But other people find that if they eat a big meal during the day, they get sleepy and they're tired and they find that they have no problem holding out to a big meal at night. So this is that you got to figure out. There's either two different people, ones that are going to want to break their fast with a big meal, and ones that are going to end their fast with a big meal. You can try both approaches and see what works better for your lifestyle. But you'll get the same results with both protocols. That's the bottom line. And if you find that you get sleepy after a big meal during the day, you can cut back on the carbs in the big meal and just emphasize protein and fat, and then you shouldn't have any issues with tiredness. Now, let's talk about the big feast first. So basically, with the big feast, you're going to be getting about 60% plus of your calories for the day. And we're going low in calories, so it's going to – but even still, because it's going to be a big, big meal. So this is where you're going to have a huge serving of protein. You know, that might be – depending on the size of you, you know, that could be 2-3 chicken breasts, a big, big – you know, like a pound of steak. I mean, like, that's – or a pound of steak. Just a big serving of protein. And this is to keep you very full. Now, if you're going with, like, lean protein, like chicken breast, you know, turkey, you know, some white fish, you're not getting much fat in there. And we need the fat. The fat's going to help increase your testosterone. It's going to do a lot of things. It's going to help keep you very full. And it's important for your health. So if you're going with chicken, then you're going to want to add in fats like, you know, oils for cooking, you know, some cheese. I like to add some cheese on top of my chicken, maybe even like some guacamole or avocado, all those healthy fats. If you're going with like a fatty cut of steak, then you want to keep the fats lower. That's just to optimize the protein fat ratio. And with that big meal, you also want to have a bunch of veggies. The fiber will help keep you full and will absorb the food slower. And you also want to have a moderate serving of carbs. That might be like a, you know, a cup of rice, a baked potato or a sweet potato. Not that much. Not that many carbs. We want the carbs moderate, just enough carbs to, you know, replenish a little bit of glycogen, keep your body satisfied, trigger the release of serotonin in your brain, and keep your sex drive, you know, where it should be. So we don't want to overdo the carbs. So some of my favorite meals for this is, you know, let's see. Sometimes I get like a cook up like 4 burgers, like extra lean burgers. I'll have those in like lettuce wraps with some like mustard. Then I'll have like, you know, cook up some, you know, potato wedges where I'll cut up a couple potatoes and then bake them in some oil. And then that will be like a meal, for example. One of my favorite meals with this approach is Chipotle. I'll go to Chipotle. I'll get, you know, a small scoop of white rice, some black or pinto beans, some fajita veggies, 3 servings of chicken. That's like triple chicken, which is so good. A big mound of cheese and some guac on the side. That's a big meal. That's about 1,200 calories. But because I'm only having one small other meal with like 600 calories, that it works perfectly, and I'm so satisfied, and I look forward to it every day. So that's your big meal. And you don't have to get too specific with like the different macro ratios. The bottom line is you want to get in the right amount of calories that you need, and you want to get in enough protein, and then you want to keep the carbs moderate, and you want to get in enough fat. And we'll talk about more about calories for these meals afterwards, but I just want to give you the basic structure of the meal. Now for the smaller meal, which you're going to eat either if you're having the big meal first to break your fast, the smaller meal you're having later in the day to end the fast. And I like to go with, you know, something simple. You know, some cottage cheese or some Greek yogurt or an omelet. It doesn't take much to cook this up. Well, actually, you don't have to cook this up. Like, that's that's what makes it so easy. Is that you don't have to cook anything up. It's very simple to prepare. You just buy a container of cottage cheese or Greek yogurt and you eat it. It's that simple. And you want to get 2% plain. So plain Greek yogurt or just cottage cheese. You don't want to get the extra sugars, and you don't want to get like 4% or 5% or like the high fat one, because then it's just too many calories. And you don't want to get 0% because then there's no fat and you won't be full. So what I usually do is I'll have a container and a half of cottage cheese at night. That's about 750 grams. That's a good like 90 grams of protein, and it's only about 600 calories. If you need to keep your calories lower, because I'm a heavier guy, I'm like 180, 185. If you're on the smaller side, you will only want about 1 container of cottage cheese. That's 500 grams. That's a lot if you're not used to it. But but it's still only about 400 calories, so it's not that many calories, and it's going to keep you very full. And the amazing thing with cottage cheese and Greek yogurt is it's very, very slow digesting. So let's say you have, you know, 60 grams of protein from cottage cheese. That protein absorbs about 2.5 grams per hour. So that is going to take roughly about 24 hours. You're going to have protein or amino acids in your bloodstream for 24 hours. So even though you're fasting next day, your muscles are not without protein. There's still plenty of amino acids flooding through your system. So I really love to stress something like cottage cheese or Greek yogurt at night. And it makes it so simple. It makes it like really, really simple. And if you want to mix it up, you don't want to have cottage cheese or Greek yogurt, then I recommend having an omelet, and you'd have two to three whole eggs, and a bunch of egg whites. So you want to buy the carton of egg whites, and you want to, you know, fill up a big bowl of egg whites with two or three eggs, and then that will be your omelet. And so that's like the second meal. Now, if you like to have the smaller meal first, then you'll either have the cottage cheese or the Greek yogurt, or the omelet for lunch, and then the big, big, big feast at dinner. So you gotta figure out what's gonna work best for you, what's easier to stick to. The reality is one is gonna work better for you, and it might change. Eventually, you might be like, oh, you know what? I loved having the big meal at night, but now I'm starting to get hungry during the day when I have the smaller meal during the day. So let me mix it up. So this is basically the outline. And so these two meals should total about, for me, I keep the calories around 2,000, 1,900 to 2,000. And that really lets me stay in that nice, solid deficit while still being satisfied. But for other people, you might need to go down to 1,600, 1,700 calories. And for bigger people, you might need to go down, might need to go up to 2,200, 2,300 calories. So, let's say you're, you know, 160 pounds, you're probably going to want to stay around 1,700 to 1,800 calories. So your first meal might be 1,000 to 1,200 calories. And then, probably about 1,200 calories, to be honest. Then your second meal will be about 500 calories. And there's one thing that I haven't mentioned. This is what's going to make this much more enjoyable. So some people don't like too big of gaps without food, especially between meals. Like having to go, let's say you have your lunch at 2 p.m., having to go till, say, 8 p.m. just feels like a long time, like waiting for another meal, especially when you – it's funny because, you know, fasting throughout the day isn't hard. You're already in that fasted state. You don't – your mind's not really thinking about food, and the hunger cravings that you get, if they come, they're not that bad. They only last a few minutes, and then you just keep focusing. But once you enter that fed state, a lot of times people just want to keep eating. What happens is after that first meal, you might be in that post-absorptive state for a couple hours. So the first hour after eating, you might feel like eating again, and then that goes away, and then you usually have no issues. And then you might get hungry again later, and you might want to eat, and then that goes away. But one thing I really like to do just to make things much, much easier is called strategic fruit snacking. So this is very useful. You can use this multiple ways. But the idea is that you can add about 3 servings of fruit to your diet per day. And you can add that however you want. And this makes a massive difference. And it's also fruit's great, very healthy. There's no issues with the sugar. As long as you're in the calorie deficit, then it's completely fine. And it'll make things better because it's going to deliver a lot of vitamins and a lot of nutrients. So the strategic fruit snacking is very, very effective. This is how I like to use it. So let's say I'm starting to get hungry before my first meal. I sleep in till 10, so I try and eat at 4, sometimes even 5. But let's say I'm a bit hungry around 2 or 3 p.m., and I really want to eat. Usually I'll just have a snack on a nice crunchy apple. It's about 80 calories, and then I'm fine for another hour or so. So basically, that makes it easier to extend that fast. And obviously, you're not technically fasting when you have an apple, but the idea is to push that first meal later in the day. So, I mean, if you have to, you get hungry, you need something to eat, have an apple, and then continue until you really need to eat that first meal. So that's the first way I like to use it. Secondly is, let's say you've had your first meal at, let's say, 2 o'clock, and you're planning on having dinner around 8 o'clock. And let's say it's 6 or 7 o'clock. And, you know, you're really thinking about food, you're starting to get hungry. Well, maybe, you know what, maybe you just have a banana around 6, 7 o'clock. You eat the banana, and then you feel like fine for that another for another couple hours. And this, you know, this sounds very simple. It doesn't, you don't, you're not really thinking through it, but it's, this makes the intermittent fasting so much easier because it just, it makes it so you stop thinking about food, you just have a serving of fruit, and then you're fine. And then you're able to extend the fast, and you're able to extend the period of time between food. Because what I see often is that people will do intermittent fasting. Once they eat that first meal, they like 3-4 hours later, they want to eat again, and then they're just thinking about that next meal for a while. And then if they eat that second meal too soon, then it's just a long period of time without food. Like then they end up, you know, going 5 hours without food by the time they go to bed, so they're hungry before bed. But adding in the fruit, you can extend that fast, and you can push that second meal later in the day comfortably, and then you go to bed feeling full and satisfied, and it's just fantastic. And the third piece of fruit, you can add at night. So let's say you had, you know, the first meal at 2 o'clock. You had let's say you started to get hungry at 1 o'clock. So you had an apple. You had the first meal at 2 o'clock. Then around 6:30, 7 o'clock, you started to kind of feel like eating again. So you had like a banana, and then you had your next meal around 8 o'clock, and then you're going to bed, you know, around 11, and you're a little bit hungry. And then maybe you have like another apple. So really you only added about, you know, 80, 160, 260 calories to your diet, because the banana is probably 100 calories, but it just makes everything so much more enjoyable. And 260 calories is not a big deal when you're only eating two, you know, meals a day, one big one and one moderate one. So it's very, very effective. This is what, like, usually I find I have a hard time doing just two meals a day because I don't like huge gaps without food after I eat. And basically, this strategic fruit snacking makes two meals a day an absolute breeze. So it is wildly, wildly effective. And everyone loves fruit, okay? We all love fruit. You can do this with any different, like, different types of fruits. I like apples and bananas because I find them to satisfy me the most. You can do strawberries, raspberries, you know, whatever you want. But basically, each serving of fruit should be no more than 80 to 100 calories. So just keep that in mind. And maybe you only need to do one or two servings of fruit. So maybe you're fine until that first meal. Then you get a bit hungry before that second meal. Maybe you only need that. Or maybe you get hungry before bed. Just basically 1 to 3 servings of fruit. Add it strategically to your diet to make eating only two meals a day very, very easy. So that is basically how that works, and it is like the most effective thing, you know. It is really the most effective way to diet. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about one other thing first, and that's strategic caffeine use. So really, we want to use caffeine as an appetite suppressant. That's it. That's what's going to make dieting as effortless as possible. So where do we want to use caffeine? We want to use it in the morning when we're fasting, because caffeine will help shuttle fat cells into your bloodstream, and it'll make fasting easier, and it'll blunt appetite, and it'll increase energy. So ideally, you only want to be consuming caffeine while you're fasting. Then once you shift into the eating state, then you don't want to touch caffeine, because then you're going to be desensitizing your body to caffeine, and the appetite-suppressing effects are going to wear down. So to make fasting as easy as possible, just caffeine in the fasted state, no other time. And if you're used to slamming lots of caffeine, then it might take a few days to adapt this to this different caffeine protocol. If you don't touch caffeine, then this is going to make caffeine so enjoyable. And here's the funny thing is that, you know, people like kind of like the people like a lot of people find, oh, you know, I'm starting to get addictive to caffeine and all that stuff. Basically, when you only consume caffeine in the fasted state, for whatever reason, your body can tolerate it very, very, very well. And caffeine has, like, no negative side effects. I pretty much go every single day with a cup of coffee. And when I don't have coffee, I am completely fine. It's not even an issue. I have no desire to drink coffee. Basically, the only time I want to drink coffee is when I'm fasting. That's how I've trained my body. Like, I think in the last couple years, I've had breakfast a couple times. And when I ate breakfast, I think the one time was when I went out drinking one night with my friends. And then I missed dinner. And then by the morning time, I was starving. And then my buddies wanted to go get lunch. So I'm like, okay, or breakfast. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And I decided to have breakfast to see how I felt and everything. And after eating breakfast, like, I didn't have caffeine all that day because I just didn't need it. I only use it with intermittent fasting. And it's funny, you know, eating a big breakfast in the morning is just not fun. You just feel tired. You don't feel like doing anything for the rest of the day. I mean, fasting is like one of the most productive things I've ever used in my life. So that's really it. Cut out caffeine any other time except for when you're fasting. And limit your caffeine use. So in the morning, I recommend no more than about, you know, 2 cups of coffee per day. So in the you might have a cup of coffee in the morning, then you might have a cup of coffee, you know, a few hours later at work, and that's it. No more caffeine than that. And when I say a cup of coffee, really I'm meaning like a standard cup of coffee. You know, some people use like a cup of coffee to refer to like a medium or a large coffee. That's a lot more than a cup of coffee. So if you're going to get like a medium coffee or a large coffee, that's all the caffeine in your day. But if you're just pouring yourself a cup of coffee, then you can have 2. And this is going to make fasting so, so, so easy. And that's basically the strategic caffeine use. And if you're working out later in the day, some people like to have pre-workouts. Cut out the pre-workouts. They're garbage. You don't need them. And if you're having caffeine in the morning, the performance effects will last for several hours. So even though you're not having caffeine directly before your workout, if you work out later in the day, you're still going to get the benefit. And the other huge benefit about this strategic caffeine is that it helps with sleep. So when you reduce your caffeine intake just to the morning or during that fasting period, you sleep like a baby at night. So a lot of people I know that drink a lot of coffee or have a lot of caffeine or pre-workouts, they don't sleep very well at night, and that sabotages a lot of things because sleep is very important. And when you're not sleeping well, a lot of times, you know, you're going to like go up. When you can't sleep, people tend to eat more. So, you know, when you're tired during the day, you're going to crave more stuff. And when you can't fall asleep at night, you're going to go down to the kitchen. You're probably going to eat something because you're just frustrated. So cutting out caffeine after in the eating state works absolute wonders. And another trick is if you're getting hungry, let's say, between the first and second meal, and you want something just to stop thinking about food, something to curb your cravings, that's where I recommend some herbal tea. You know, get some caffeine-free tea, hot tea, drink that, and you'll find that your appetite goes away. That works very, very, very well. So go with some herbal tea later in the day and at night if you kind of want something but you don't want to take in any calories. So that's basically the system. You're doing, you know, fasting during the day up until lunch, you know, and you're only having a cup or two of black coffee only. Or if you don't like coffee, you can have like some caffeine pills. I don't recommend green tea for a lot of people in the morning because for whatever reason, having green tea on an empty stomach gives a lot of people bad stomach aches. That's the case for me at least and a couple other people. So I would say black coffee in the morning, or if you want to have like just caffeine in a different form, like a caffeine pill or some, you know, something along those lines, that's cool. Then, you know, you're going to have your big, big meal at lunchtime and, you know, a lighter meal of cottage cheese or Greek yogurt later at night. And then you're going to have, you know, 2 or 3 pieces of fruit that you strategically place into your diet to make eating 2 meals a breeze. Maybe get hungry before that first meal, you have an apple. Maybe you get hungry before that second meal, you have a banana. Maybe you get hungry before bed, you might have another apple. And maybe you only need to do 1 or 2 of those. So keep that in mind. And then, of course, maybe you want to have that big meal at night. It just works better with your lifestyle. So in that instance, what you want to do is you want to have the smaller meal, the cottage cheese, the Greek yogurt, or, you know, the omelet for lunch, and then you want to have the big, big feast for dinner. Both of these work the same. They both work incredible. It's really what you enjoy doing more. That's really the bottom line. Now, let's get a bit into calculations and all that. So I recommend setting calories around 11 calories per pound of goal body weight. Now, don't set goal body weight any more than 20 pounds below your current weight. Maybe you're 220 pounds. Maybe you want to get down to 180. Well, first goal is 20 pounds below your current weight. So first goal is get to 200. Then when you get to 200, then you set calories based on 180. So that's how that works. And maybe you only want to drop 5 pounds. Well, base your weight. Your goal weight is going to be 5 pounds below where you are. So I recommend setting calories around 11 calories per pound of goal body weight. Some people can do 10 calories, but I find that to be quite a bit more challenging and I find 11 calories per pound of gold body weight to be more enjoyable. But really, if you're doing 11 calories per pound of if you're doing 11 calories per pound of goal body weight, and you're like, oh, this is actually a lot of food, I actually don't even need to eat this much, you can drop down to 10. Just don't go below 10 calories per pound of goal body weight, because that's when you're not going to be getting in the right amount of macros. That's your proteins, fats, and carbs.
Okay,
so that's your basically your setting your calories. Now we want the diet to be predominantly protein based, because protein is going to keep you the most full. Protein is going to help you maintain the most amount of muscle. Protein is also going to help you lose the most fat, because protein burns the most calories through digestion. So protein is our best friend. And for that reason, I recommend setting about 40% of your calories based around protein. That's 40% of your calories based around protein. So let's say on this diet that you're 200 pounds and you want to get down to 180. So in that instance, we're doing 180 times 11, which is 1,980 calories. We can just round that to 2,000. Round it to the nearest multiple of 50. So you got 2,000 calories per day to work with. Now, let's take 40% of that. So 2,000 times 0.4 is 800 calories from protein. And protein has 4 calories per gram. So 800 divided by 4. So you're getting 200 grams of protein for in this individual case. So 200 grams of protein is a lot. I mean, you could pretty much have about like over a pound of meat in that big meal, and then a container of cottage cheese, and you'd hit 200 grams of protein, and you'd be so full. So that's pretty cool. So that's basically how you set your protein. So you get your calories and you get your protein numbers. And to make this very simple, I just recommend getting the rest of your calories from a mix of fats and carbs. Now, if you're having, keep in mind, you're going to get some fat from your meat, and you're going to get some fat from like the 2% cottage cheese, and then all the rest of the fat, you can add that however you want, and that works very, very, very well. And I don't really see the need to, you know, tell you exactly how many carbs and fats you have to get. That just makes things more complicated. Just focus, biggest priority is hitting your calories. Second to that is get around 40% protein. And then thirdly, hit the rest of your calories with a mix of fats and carbs. And one reason I love this approach is because some people are going to do better with a lower fat, more carb diet. And other people are going to do better with a lower carb, higher fat diet. So as long as you're getting 40% protein and you're hitting your calories, then if you want to have a bit more carbs, less fat, do that. If you want to have a bit more fat, less carbs, or the inverse, whatever, then you want to do that as well. So that makes it very, very simple. So let's just give you a brief example. Let's say you have to do 2,000 calories, you know, for your first big meal. You're going to have like a big serving of meat, bowl of veggies. Don't even bother counting the calories in veggies. It's just not necessary. You're having a bowl of veggies. And in addition to that, you're also going to be having a small serving of carbs. So that's maybe, you know, a little cup of rice or like a baked potato or a baked sweet potato. So that's really your main meal. And then keep in mind, you're going to have a couple pieces of fruit throughout that day. So you're going to have like, you know, maybe one or two apples and a banana. So that's, you know, right then and there. If you have two apples and a banana, that's, you know, a good 70 grams of carbs. And then all like the rest of your carbs were in that big main meal. So you're probably going to get in this instance, 2,000 calories is probably going to be close to around 150 grams of carbs per day. So not a whole lot, but like definitely not by any means very low. Just that moderate approach on a diet. And then, you know, if you want to hit some fats and you want to add some fats in there, well, then you can add you'll be getting most of your fat in that big main meal with your meat. But then you have more fat, you know, you can add some cheese to the meal. You can add some, you know, some nuts. I'm not a huge fan of nuts, but if you like nuts, add some nuts. Or you can add some guacamole, which is delicious. My favorite meal right now is from Chipotle. I get triple chicken, and I get loaded with cheese and guac and some beans and a little bit of rice. And so when you get the chicken pieces in there with some cheese and some guac, oh my God, the protein and the fat taste so good together. And the fat, of course, is from the guacamole and the cheese. So really, it's that simple. Get a big meal, protein, fats, and carbs, and then get another meal with an omelet with 2 or 3 whole eggs and some egg whites, or a container of cottage cheese or Greek yogurt, 2%. And this is so very simple, and you're going to be completely productive, and you're going to be looking leaner every single day. Now, people want to know, like, what if my fat loss stalls? What do I do? So basically, your fat loss will be consistent in this calorie intake. It shouldn't really stall unless you've already lost a bunch of weight. But sometimes keep in mind that fat loss can plateau for a couple weeks. So you might actually go a week without seeing any drop in scale weight, and then after a few days, your weight might just drop 2 or 3 pounds. So that happens frequently. So unless you haven't lost any weight for 2 consecutive weeks, don't change anything. Then after 2 weeks, if you haven't seen any weight loss, then drop the calories down by 200. So let's say you're doing 2,000 calories, and then you're losing weight, and then 2 weeks you haven't lost any weight, then you might want to go down to 1,800 and then repeat that same approach. But after about 3 months of doing this strict type of dieting, you're going to want to take 2 weeks to eat at maintenance. That's just more calories. So let's say for most people, maintenance is around 15 calories per pound, 14 calories per pound, somewhere in there. So after dieting for 3 months, then you're going to want to take 2 weeks and just keep those calories higher. And hey, in those 3 months, you can lose, you know, about 18 to 24 pounds. So probably about 20 pounds of fat. So every 3 months, you know, what you'd want to do is, and some people might only have 10 pounds to lose and they'll lose that in, you know, 6 weeks. But what you want to do is every 3 months is go to maintenance, and then that will help re-stimulate your metabolism, get leptin up, so then you'll be burning more calories per day, and then you want to go back to a lower calorie intake. Because if you've lost 20 pounds, then you want to set calories based on your new goal weight. And that's how you adjust as you go along to keep progress always happening. And then the next thing is, what do you do next? So when you hit your goal, you just go to maintenance. That's 14, 15 calories per pound of body weight. Stick to the similar dieting protocol, but now you might even be able to add another meal in there. So if you're used to doing like the 2 meals, you might be able to add another small meal in there. Or you just go with bigger meals. So there's multiple ways to go about doing that. I sometimes, like, what I'll do when I'm going to maintenance, because I like to keep things very, very simple, is I'll have my big, big meal at lunchtime. I'll have, you know, 3 pieces of fruit per day, all of that, you know, good serving of cottage cheese, and then maybe I have like another 600 calories that I need to hit because I'm eating at maintenance, so I get a lot more calories to work with. Then I'll have, like, at night, I might have like a big bowl of cereal, just hit those carbs and just sleep like a baby. That is how I like to do that. And or, you know, sometimes I'll even have a big bowl of ice cream, which is okay as long as you keep calories under control. Or, you know, I just some big serving of carbs at night, because when you go to maintenance, you don't need to add more calories from protein. You want to add more calories from carbs, because that's what's going to help restock your muscle glycogen to build muscle. And this type of eating day, you want to do that once per week, even while you're dieting. So let's say you're doing the strict dieting approach 6 days a week. Once a week, add in 150 to 200 grams of carbs. That's about 600 to 800 calories. So just do the same diet on your refeed day, but at night add a big serving of either rice or a big serving of like cereal. I like to go gluten-free because I'm sensitive to gluten. You may be too. You may also not be gluten sensitive, but you might as well try it if you're doing this approach. Get some gluten-free cereal and have a big serving of carbs at night on that refeed day, and that will help make the next days a lot easier. So this is what I recommend doing for the, you know, the rapid fat loss aggressive diet to drop body fat, and it works absolutely incredible. It makes things so freaking easy, and it is basically going to get you to your goal easier than ever before. So guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Take care.